1. De La Lu is standing at the foot of my bed, clipboard in hand. His is my second visit this morning. The first was from my medics, who confirmed that the surgery went well. They said that as long as I stay in bed this week, the new drugs they've given me should accelerate my healing process. They also said that I should be fit to resume daily activities fairly soon, but I'll be required to wear a sling for at least a month. I told them it was an interesting theory. My slacks, De La Lu. I'm sitting up, trying to steady my head against the nausea of these new drugs. My right arm is essentially useless to me now. I look up. De La Lu is staring at me, unblinking, Adam's apple bobbing in his throat. I stifle a sigh. What is it? I use my left arm to steady myself against the mattress and force myself upright. It takes every ounce of energy I have left, and I'm clinging to the bed frame. I wave away De La Lu's effort to help. I close my eyes against the pain and dizziness. Tell me what's happened, I say to him. There's no point in prolonging bad news. His voice breaks twice when he says, Private Adam, Kent, has escaped, sir. My eyes flash a bright, dizzying white behind my eyelids. I take a deep breath and attempt to run my good hand through my hair. It's thick and dry and caked with what must be dirt mixed with my own blood. I'm tempted to punch my remaining fist through the wall. Instead, I take a moment to collect myself. I'm suddenly too aware of everything in the air around me, the scents and small noises and footsteps outside my door. I hate these rough cotton pants they've put me in. I hate that I'm not wearing socks. I want to shower. I want to change. I want to put a bullet through Adam Kent's spine. Leeds, I demand. I move toward my bathroom and wince against the cold air as it hits my skin. I'm still without a shirt, trying to remain calm. Tell me you have not brought me this information without Leeds. My mind is a warehouse of carefully organized human emotions. I can almost see my brain as it functions, filing thoughts and images away. I lock away the things that do not serve me. I focus only on what needs to be done, the basic components of survival, and the myriad things I must manage throughout the day. Of course, De La Lu says. The fear in his voice stings me a little. I dismiss it. Yes, sir, he says. We do think we know where he might have gone, and we have reason to believe that Private Kent and the girl, well, with Private Kishimoto having run off as well, we have reason to believe that they are all together, sir. The drawers in my mind are rattling to break open. Memories, theories, whispers and sensations. I shove them off a cliff. Of course you do. I shake my head, regret it, close my eyes against the sudden unsteadiness. Do not give me information I've already deduced for myself, I manage to say. I want something concrete. Give me a solid lead, Lieutenant, or leave me until you have one. A car, he says quickly. A car was reported stolen, sir, and we were able to track it to an unidentified location, but then it disappeared off the map. It's as if it ceased to exist, sir. I look up, give him my full attention. We followed the tracks it left in our radar, he says, speaking more calmly now, and they led us to a stretch of isolated, barren land, but we've scoured the area and found nothing. This is something, at least. I rub the back of my neck, fighting the weakness I feel deep in my bones. I will meet you in the L room in 1 hour. But, sir, he says, eyes trained on my arm, you'll need assistance. There's a process. You'll require a...